everyone. Good to see everybody this morning. Everybody pick your hymnal up. Let's sing Where the Soul Never Dies, page 305.
Amen. again. It's great to be back in God's house today. I see all that's cannot be with us this morning, although I think there's more up here than there is out in the audience today. But nonetheless, we're glad to see each and every one that has come out to be with us this morning. It's kind of a rainy, dark day. Maybe that's the reason people stayed home this morning. We do have several that are out traveling this morning, so pray for them. The Bucks are going to a family reunion, and several others are away. So be in prayer for all those who aren't with us this morning. Also on our missing list today is Brother Sam and Sister Cindy. They've gone to, where'd you say?
Waldron.
They've gone to Waldron this morning. So pray for them. They have a safe trip and will get back with us soon and that they have a good time while they're away. This morning we have Brother Cody Edge will be bringing the message this morning. So we look forward to hearing him speak in just a little bit. So. All right, announcements today. We have several things to make mention of. If you weren't here earlier, I'll repeat them. Next Sunday morning, October 21st, we'll take a special offering for the Walter Waldron to help out with his cancer needs. And at 9, that'll be next Sunday morning. Also next Sunday morning, the Gideon International group will be here to do a presentation for us. Gideons do Bible work. They give out Bibles throughout the country. And we support them in the presentation, so next Sunday morning they'll be here to do that. On our bulletin this morning is Thanksgiving baskets names. We every year we put together food baskets to give out to those who might be in need. We'd like to have the names turned in by the end of the month this year. We don't have a whole lot of time to get together. That gives us about 3 weeks to get all the food together and then delivered. So we encourage everyone, who, if you know someone who's in need of a Thanksgiving basket. Saturday, November 3rd, starting at 2 p.m. is our fall festival. We're going to be at Kaiser's home once again this year. There'll be a potluck cookout, so whatever you want to cook out, we'll eat. So bring your best dish. Also, there'll be, I think, a potluck ride, and you might want to bring some lawn chairs. I remember last year we had enough chairs or not, but you might want to bring a lawn chair just to play it safe. So keep it. Nursery attendants this morning are Sam and Don Johnson, and next Sunday Michelle Neighbors and Holly Graves are scheduled for the nursery. And then on the other side of your bulletin, a special announcement, the 106th Annual Arkansas State Gospel Singing Convention is taking place in Hot Springs. It'll be at Oakland United Methodist Church at 216 Eagan Ferry Road, Friday, October the 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. We're going to have refreshments to follow. And Saturday, October the 20th, starting at singing starts at 9:30. All day singing with potluck lunch at 1 p.m. So the Watsons would like to invite everyone to come to that. But we encourage you, if you can, to go out and enjoy the singing and perform if you like. I think they'll let you get up to sing also if you like to sing. Coming up this next week. All right, that's all the announcements I have. Are there any announcements from the church? Anything else going on we need to talk about? We're going to start getting busy with the holidays coming up. So catch your breath and get ready to go. Anything up here? Any announcements?
Page 135. 135.
Having no burdens
Our's going to sing for you this morning an old song that's been around for a long, long time. And I got to tell you, when we have rehearsal on Sunday evenings, we have a blast.
Amen.
And we would still like to invite anyone who's a member of the church that would like to be part of our festivities on Sunday evening. We would love to have you, because we just have a good time praising the Lord in song and just laughing and carrying on, mostly at Eddie Joe's expense. So we would love to invite anybody that would like to come to be in our number. But we're going to sing for you this morning and hope you enjoy it.
Especially since we were short-handed today. We kind of downed numbers just a little bit. Also, I'd like to mention that of all the people to give a hard time to, but Eddie Joe's probably the best to do that to. So, we'll keep that in mind. All right, as I said a few minutes ago, the alts are away this morning. So we'd like to welcome Brother Cody Edge to the pulpit today to take charge of the service. Brother Cody, if you'll come now, take charge and close out any way you see fit. Service is yours.
Good morning. Everybody hear me real fine? I need to yell. I don't mind yelling. My favorite yells out of anger, do they? Does anybody know the difference between perception and interpretation? Open mic night. Does anybody know the difference? What's the difference between interpretation and perception? Perception, as Google defines it, is the ability to hear, see, or become aware of something through the senses. A way of regarding, understanding, or interpreting something, or a mental impression. So in short, interpretation is by which we make a result or a conclusion by using our perception. How many interpretations of the Bible are there? Just one. There's just one interpretation. That's how the author wrote it. Now, how many interpretations have we heard? We've heard a bunch. But again, the only interpretation of the Bible is how the author intended it, who is ultimately God. We don't read, I'm going to say this author because it looks like I saw somebody walking in with a cowboy hat a while ago. Louis L'Amour. Does anybody read Louis L'Amour? We don't read his books and try to interpret something different than how he intended it, right? We try to interpret it the way he wrote it, and that's what we need to do with the Bible. If you would go ahead, turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 40. Most of us know the story of Joseph. He's a young man. He was kind of a punk to his brothers. His brothers didn't really like him. He was his dad's favorite because he was the first child of his favorite wife, who was Rachel. And so his brothers didn't like him from it because of that, because he was his dad's favorite. So his dad gives him this really cool coat. A lot of us know him as Joseph, man of coat of many colors. And so his brothers, he tells his brothers, you know, that they're going to bow down to him someday. And they sell him, they throw him in the well, and they pull him out of the well, and then they sell him into slavery. And so he ends up in Potiphar's house, who is an officer for Pharaoh down in Egypt. And his wife accuses him of sexually assaulting him. And despite all the evidence being for Joseph, that Joseph didn't do that, they still convicted him and put him in prison. That has nothing to do with modern day, does it? So, the story of Joseph, he ends up in prison, and while he's there, we'll see in chapter 40. Chapter 40, verse 1, and it came to pass after these things that that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And the Pharaoh was wroth against them, against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. Or prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued in a season of war, and they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, "Wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, "We have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it." And Joseph said unto them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you." So here's a man who's been through numerous unfair circumstances. He's wrongfully accused. He's thrown into a well. He's sold into slavery. He's had all these things go wrong for him. And he has the presence of mind. You know, he's probably, I wouldn't say he's the first one, but he's definitely a Christ-like man before Christ is even manifested as God, as a man. And so he's got the presence of mind to ask these two men what's wrong with him. Now, if I was in this situation, I'm sure a lot of us would too, we would be playing the whole woe is me card. You know, I've been wrongfully accused. You know, I'm just so terrible. I'm so mistreated. You know, why would God do this to me? But this, he didn't do that. He was trying to figure out what was wrong with other people. He was, in some situations, a people pleaser. And so, my translation says that he was the chief butler, translates into cupbearer. And so what he would do is he would drink whatever the Pharaoh was going to drink before the Pharaoh would drink it to make sure it wasn't poisoned and so on. So he was the most trusted person in the court. And so he asked Joseph, you know, about his dream. And Joseph's gift was to interpret dreams. He could have very easily said, oh, this is what I can do. A lot of times we put ourselves in that, you know, this is what I can do. But, you know, you think about how many of us have a spiritual gift. Everyone in this room does. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And so we all have a spiritual gift. I play piano. Now, I can't play piano, play like that and sing at the same time, but I can play piano. But I play by ear. And so there's no other way that can be me. That's got to be God. I'm sure there's people in here that are good at carpentry, good at woodworking, painting, sculpting. Maybe it's mowing the grass a certain way. And you're really good at it. That's a spiritual gift. You know, so many times we use our spiritual gifts in a prideful manner. We do it to glorify ourselves instead of glorify God. And that was a real struggle with me because I'd always wanted to play piano. Ever since I was young, I wanted to play piano. And so I'm a firm believer that if you have a passion for something or you have a hang-up, that God will redirect that to glorify Him. So, example, if you have this passion to be accepted, to be wanted, when you accept Christ, that is redirected to God. You now want to feel accepted through God, so you will do things in the glory of God. The same with me wanting to play piano. I was wanting to be honest with you, girls really like piano players. If you don't believe me, ask my wife. And so that was my thing. I was like, I'm going to play piano. I'm going to get all these girls. I'm going to hang on my arm. And then I was saved. And that started to transfer. I actually did learn to play piano after I was saved. And I actually just sat down at a computer one day with a piano and a laptop and just watched YouTube videos till I figured it out. And I went from doing that to try to glorify myself to now do it glorifying God. You know, my ultimate dream, you know, at that point in time was to be able to go different places around, you know, the state of Arkansas and lead worship. And I'm able to do that now because of God and to glorify God. And so a lot of times we use it as something we can do that's ours, but it's God's. And so when I play piano, I can say, well, isn't all that to the glory of God? Isn't all that God's, like Joseph did? Don't interpretations belong to God? And so we look further down in verse 9. He's used his perception and his ability through God to interpret this man's dream. So looking at verse 9, it says, and the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded, and her bosom shot forth. And the clusters therefore brought forth ripe grapes, and Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days Pharaoh shall lift thine head, and restore thee into thy place. And thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand, and after the former manner, when thou wast his butler. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and shew kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Out of the land of the Hebrews, where also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head, and the uppermost basket was full of all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered, Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation, therefore. The three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days, Pharaoh shall lift thine head up off thee and shall hang thee on the tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. And it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast to all of his servants. And he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. And he restored the chief butler into his butlership again. And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And he hanged the chief butler, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. And so Joseph is back in the same predicament. He's told the chief butler to remember him when he gets to the palace where the king's at, or the Pharaoh. And he's forgotten. How many times have we been in a place to help somebody, and we're in a bad place, and we ask them to remember us, and they forget about us? A lot of times we think out of anger. We think spitefully of that person. But the Bible doesn't say, but I really don't think that Joseph really thought that. He might have, but again, we don't know, because the Bible doesn't specify. But Joseph is finally remembered. And you can't put a time frame on God. God's going to bring it back around when his timing is perfect, because God's timing is always perfect. And so 2 years passed, Joseph still in the prison, and Pharaoh has a dream. And the chief butler's like, hey, there was this guy when I was in prison that interpreted my dream that you would restore me, and it happened 3 days later, just as he said. And so they send for Joseph. Joseph shows up, and Pharaoh asks him to interpret his dream. And Joseph's response is, Joseph answered Pharaoh, it is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. And he says, it's not me, it's God. I don't know about y'all, but I would be extremely tempted to say, hey, let me get this. Watch what I can do. But he didn't do that. He was humble enough to realize it was not him. And it's crazy to think that this man who has been through so much in his life, who could have very easily cursed God, but he didn't do it. So many times, you know, that's a good parallel for in being in the presence of God, because Joseph wanted to, I'm sure he wanted to ask so many things of Pharaoh in return for interpreting this dream. But the only thing he asked for in return, which we'll read later, is to just put him in charge of this to make sure this doesn't happen. And so many times we go to God saying, God, please give me this. Please give me that. The number one thing I ask people, please don't pray for, and don't pray for it for me, is patience. Because God will make sure you have patience. Whether it be through tribulation, through waiting, God will teach you patience. I'm not saying asking for patience is a bad thing. I'm just saying if you ask for it, be prepared. Because it's not going to be easy. So we come to God so many times for things that we want, that we think we need. When's the last time we just sat down in the presence of God and just enjoyed it? Just opened our Bibles and listened to what God was telling us instead of what we want the Bible to say, or instead of what we want, what we think we need. You know, there's so many. I mean, I know I've done this. You know, we say, Lord, I've done goofed. I've messed up. My wife told me to do the dishes, and I sat here and decided to watch TV the whole time, and she came back home and the dishes weren't done, and she's mad at me. Who's done that? I'll be honest, I've done that. Nobody's gonna raise their hand? So many times we ask for forgiveness for things, and we ask for this, and we ask for that, and we lose sight that God just wants to be with us. He wants to dwell among us. He wants us to be constantly in His presence. Amen. And because He wants that, and if we do that, our interpretation and our perception on life will change. But it does later. If you look in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding." It's not going to make sense. We can't do this on our own. It doesn't matter how hard we try, how much effort we put into this. If we don't have God, we're going to fail. I've heard it say before, anything that is not ideal by God's standard is going to be hard. It doesn't make it impossible, but it's going to be hard to do without God. So if Joseph went to God in his interpretations of dreams, then why don't we go to God in our interpretations of the Bible? I'm good at this. Sometimes I sit down at my Bible before I pray and ask God to reveal His Word to me. I go to the Bible and I try to figure out what it's saying on my own accord. I'm sure this is popular amongst many young preachers, even older preachers, that we try to find what it's going to say instead of allowing God to just speak to us. One of the first, you know, I've only been a Christian for 2018, 5 years now. And when I was a young Christian, meaning when I was like 15, 16, I say that like I'm old, I'm only 21. But I would take my theology from songs and would apply that. I would take what was said in the pulpit as 100% fact and hold it equal to the Word of God and use that to base my theology off of. Now, there's nothing wrong with that if it's right theology, if it's sound doctrine. But if you trust in that 100% of the time, you're going to get it wrong sometimes. Now, even, what's it they say, even a blind squirrel finds a nut sometimes? So there are preachers out there who we don't like. You know, I'm sure Joel Osteen's got it right a couple times. Just a couple, to be fair. Most of the time he's way off in left field chasing butterflies. And so many times we don't go to God before we read the Bible. And I've heard this before, that whenever you study the Bible is you look at a bank teller. A bank teller can spot a fake bill like that because she knows what a real one looks like. If we study the Word of God, we're going to know what fake sounds like when we hear it, because we're going to know what we're. I'm in my third year, and one of the first classes I took was Bible analysis, and it taught us how to interpret the Bible, how to use God to reveal His Word to you. And one of the first things they told us was, if you ever find something that nobody else has found, be careful. Chances are, if you find something that nobody else has found, it's probably wrong. Because there's a reason why other people have not come to that conclusion. And so, like I was saying a while ago, you know, when you hear something from the pulpit, if you haven't heard it before, study it, research it, look into it. Don't just take it as fact. You know, like I said, you know, I make a lot of jokes about Joel Osteen, but you look at the amount of followers this man has and the amount of people who listen to him because they don't truly know what this says. If they knew what this said, do you think he'd have tens of millions of followers? If he's got that many, I don't know. That's what happens, and that's honestly, what scares me about stuff like that is people don't know. There are people sitting in our pews who are children when it comes to their spirituality. I'm not saying that like I know what I'm talking about, because half the time I just know what God has told me and what is revealed to me. A lot of this is not me, but God. Because God took somebody who, I was one of them people who I would come into church, I'd sit on the back row, and I'd slip out before anybody was there. My dad likes to call it flying on the DL, down low. That was me. And if you'd have told me 5 years ago when I was saved that I would be preaching the gospel to people in a pulpit, I would have laughed in your face. But you know what? Because of God and His grace and His ability to work through people who are broken, He does that. God doesn't... We don't qualify ourselves for the ministry. God qualifies us. God will prepare us. God will mentor us, and He will disciple us in ways that we cannot be discipled by other people. It's still good to have that earthly mentor that will help you. But if that earthly mentor And so back to talking about, you know, whenever you trust in God, and is, you know, it's not going to make sense, like it says in Proverbs 3, verse 5. It's not going to make sense, but if you do that and you wholly trust in God and give 100 faith to Him, this is what it says. The good thing about Proverbs is a funny way it works. It's really great how it works that way. Almost every odd verse is a command, and almost every even verse is a promise. So Proverbs 3, 6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." The heart, the mind and the brain and the body do what the heart wants. If the heart wants to follow God, guess what the mind and body are going to do? They're going to follow God. And so relying on God for our interpretations and allowing us to fully trust in Him, He'll direct everything we do. We'll fill the Great Commission. What does the Great Commission say? Go make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. You look at that passage. There's only one command in that whole passage. And I didn't know this till I started looking at the original languages. You look at the word go is not a verb. The word make disciples are. Make disciples is the only command in that passage. That's the ultimate calling of callings when you look at it, because time and time again, when God wants someone to go do something for Him, what does He say? Arise, go, cry. You look at Jonah, He said, arise, go to Nineveh, and cry out against them. Macedonian call. When Paul went to do that, he arose, he went, and he cried. Now, I'm not talking cry like boo-hoo. I'm talking about the old school definition of the word cry. You know, you've heard of town criers, you've heard of street corner criers who are more or less advertising, or they've got like newspapers and stuff. That's what He's talking about. When you go and you cry out for God, that's what He's saying. So He interprets this dream. There are seven bad cattle, seven good cattle, seven good years, seven bad years. And the seven good years have come and they've prepared for it. And so the seven bad years are not as bad for Egypt. Now, Israel... It's not Israel quite yet, but we'll say Israel because Jacob's name is Israel as well. Sees this, and is like, tells his sons, his 10 sons, he says, hey, go down there. They might have some grain and stuff because they're doing good. So they go down there, and they're standing in front of Joseph, who is now the second highest ranking member of the Egyptian government. And so, even though we're about halfway through it, is he brought Joseph from the pit to the palace. He went from the lowest man on the totem pole to the second highest guy in there. And gave him rule over everything. He could do anything he wanted to do. And so his brothers come up there and they're like, you know, we've got this. We need some help. They're talking to amongst each other in Hebrew. Joseph's talking to them through an interpreter. They don't know it's Joseph. Joseph speaks Hebrew. Joseph is hearing what they're saying, but he's acting like he doesn't by speaking through an interpreter. And whenever he does that, he could have very easily, when his brothers come, he could have very easily blamed them for everything that has happened to him. If they hadn't have put him in the pit, he wouldn't have spent years a slave. He wouldn't have spent years in the prison. He interpreted his past and what God had done for him in his past to not do that. He could have said all these things about his brothers. You know, we always pray, and I know I've prayed this. I don't have any kids yet, but we don't want our kids to go through what we've been through. But have you ever thought that the reason why you are the way you are right now is because of your past? Think about it. Everything you've been through in your life has brought you to where you are now spiritually. I do pray that, though. I do pray that my kids don't go through. See here. Dad's on his third marriage. Mom's on her third marriage. Grandparents are divorced. Divorce is a household name in my family, I guess you can say. And I don't want my kids to go through that. But those things brought me to the person I am today. And God's going to use that because I know what that's like. So now I can sympathize with people who are going through that. So the only thing that is up for interpretation, though, is your past. Are you going to let it consume you? Are you going to let your past define you? Or are you going to let your past refine you? You try to dwell on it. The past has changed us. For better or worse, the past has changed us. You can't go back and fix the past. But you can change the future. One thing I really love about know me, you may know. I know one guy said he knew a guy, preached over in Oklahoma with last name. Good chance we're related. I don't know. I use two or three different Bible translations when I do my studying. And one thing I really love about the King James Version, and it repeats this phrase, in fact, over 453 times. So that's about seven times a book. And it came to pass. So many times we just look over that word as, okay, it's the next day. Something's passed over and we're going on to the next thing. But think about it. Whatever you're going through will come to pass. These earthly bodies will come to pass. Young kids in here, that energy that you seem to have never ending, it will come to pass. When I was in high school, I could eat whatever I want, whenever I wanted. I played football, so it was very easy for me just to burn off the calories. Well, guess what? That came to pass. In the process of, sir, I've been out of high school, was it 2018? 2 years, I graduated 2016. 2 years, I gained 30 pounds because I knew it would come to pass, but I didn't change my habits to adapt. It will come to pass. I heard a story about a father. He was a very wealthy man. And he decided to have his son realize exactly how wealthy they were and to realize what it was like to be poor. So he found the poorest people he knew outside of town. He sent his son to go live with them for a couple days. And 3 days later, he returned and he said, tell me what you saw. And he said, we have expensive lamps imported from Europe and they have stars. Although we have one dog and they have four. We have a swimming pool in our garden and they have a creek that never ends. He said, thank you, Father, for making me realize how poor we are. Think about that. His perception changed. In church in Benton, and we sent a group over to Romania. And they came back and said that these people are so poor But he said the glorious thing is they don't know because they love people. They find things to do, and they probably think they're rich because of what they have. So many times, we base whether we are poor or rich on how much we have. And how much of what you own to be gone. What you have, what you hold dear. Has anyone ever seen the movie about Brandon Burlesworth called Greater? I've seen it. It's a great movie. There's a scene in the movie where the quarterback is frustrated and mad because the offense doesn't seem to be moving. They seem to be running on a treadmill. They're running in place. They're not going anywhere. Getting mad, he's getting frustrated, and he's cursing the coach. And Brandon Burlesworth grabs him by the collar and says, "Calm down. The coordinator upstairs can see the whole field. The only thing we can see is what's right in front of us. A lot of times we only see what's right here, what's in front of us. I like to use my phone as an example. We always see what's right here. How many people have a phone, have a cell phone? Just about everybody. How many people spend most of their time glued to this screen? I do. I'll be honest with you. I do. I'm on the south end of the millennials, so I definitely do. But how many times are we so focused on what's in front of us that we don't see what's beyond that? That's what's great about God, is He can see where you're at now, where you're at 20 years from now, and where you were at 20 years ago, all at the same time. And so we get frustrated when it seems like we're running on a treadmill. We're not going anywhere. Get irritated. And I'm sure God just, I know He does this with me all the time. He just face palms. He's like, "You don't realize what I'm setting you up for." And we don't. We don't realize what's going on. No matter what we're going through, no matter what we've done, our perception and our interpretation of that is of God. And if it's of God, He will guide your interpretation you're going through. Go ahead and pray. We'll do the invitation. And I guess do whatever else we've got going on. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank You for this glorious day. There are so many things that we have to be thankful for today, Lord. And Your Son is definitely one of them, Lord. I just ask You open up the hearts of these people, Lord, that they will stay in Your will, Lord. And, Lord, we just thank You for so much. We thank You for Your Son. He's died on a cross to forgive us of our many sins. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
Page 187. Let's all stand.
Service and we go straight into preaching. So if you do that, we appreciate it. We appreciate all that's come out and be with us this morning. And we invite everyone else back tonight as well. So we have everyone come back. Anything else for close out this morning?